Thought I did. Oh, there we are. This is my third time preaching here at Fort George Baptist Church, and it certainly is an honor every time I am allowed to speak here. Our culture here in North America puts very low expectations on people of my age, and so most churches would likely not consider me to speak to all of you. But God is working in me, He is working in you, and He is working in our church, and I'm really excited about that. This will be my last Sunday here on staff, and so I would love to greet you at the end of the service in case we do not see each other until I return from school next year. If you have not noticed yet, evil is all around us. Sometimes it is obvious, and other times it is not. We live in a time when there is either more evil abounding on this earth, or we have gotten much better at hearing about the evil on this earth. Any which way, we hear recently of a Malaysian Airlines plane that was shot down over the Ukraine. Or we hear about Israel and Hamas shooting at each other and killing thousands. Or we hear of other evils, such as negligence of what God has given us to the point of environmental disaster. These are all evil. But there seems to be other areas of life that are not as obvious. How do we know what are attacks of the enemy? How do we combat these attacks? Are we even capable? And are we even doing a better job than the rest of the world? Many of you have heard that 50% of couples in evangelical churches end up in divorce. It is a common statistic that is thrown out there. It is discouraging and is often tied together with the idea that the church is no different than the secular world. But I'm really happy to tell you that this isn't actually the case. It's a myth. A study has been shown that in people of evangelical churches in the United States, couples that were committed to church attendance were much less likely to be divorced than their secular neighbor. Catholics were 31% less likely to divorce, and Protestants were 35% less likely to divorce. So the church certainly does have the power to overcome evil, which is really exciting, comforting, encouraging. And this morning, we are going to look into how we can do this better. This morning, I am preaching out of 1 Peter 5, verses 8 to 11. And so I invite you to read this with me or listen along. Either are fine. And it says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." My main idea that I want to present to you from this passage is how amazing is it that being alert and firm in the faith today allows us to resist the devil. I'll repeat that so that those of you who like to take sermon notes can write this down. How amazing is it that being alert and firm in the faith allows us to resist the devil? Would you bow with me in prayer this morning? Father, we come to you this morning hungry to hear what you have to say to us, Father. Father, we need you and we cannot resist the devil without you, Father. So, Father, this morning as we come here, we pray that our hearts would be softened. If we came this morning with hardened hearts, or hearts that didn't want to be here this morning, I pray that you would work on our hearts as we hear your word, Father. I pray this in your name. Amen. For those of you who are about 35 and under, possibly a little bit older, have you ever caught yourself looking down at your smartphone, looking intently at a new email or a status update on Facebook, and look up to realize that your kid or friend or spouse was talking to you and you completely missed what they were saying? I'm super guilty of this. Or for those of you who don't have a smartphone, have you been trying to get the attention of someone who has been on their phone but seems to be in another world? This seems to be fairly commonplace. Several times in the last month, I have seen on Facebook with status updates saying things like, "I am missing important moments of my newborn baby's life because I am too focused on Facebook, so I am deleting it off of my phone." Noticing life's important things like friends and family requires being alert and not distracted, and it is the same with sin and the devil's attacks. This is my first point of seven, that in order to defeat the devil at his own game, to resist him, we need to be alert. So often in life, we are so busy with work or phones, TV, friends, family, that we are not aware of the sin at our doorstep. Verse 8 starts with, "Be alert and of sober mind." How can someone be alert and of sober mind? We need to be spiritually aware. This means training in discipline. Interestingly enough, this is what Pastor Dan has been preaching on for the last few Sundays. Pastor Dan has spoken about regular Bible readings and meditation, and this is how we can be aware. We need to be regularly connected with God through reading the scriptures, looking to the Bible for wisdom and for what is right and what is wrong. We also need to spend time regularly looking into our own lives, asking ourselves how we are doing in our spiritual walk, our relationships, and with sin. Being aware requires self-reflection, and this does not tend to come easily. I once heard of a man who was in the military, and he was not able to be in open spaces with large groups of people because it overwhelmed him. He had been trained to be constantly observing his surroundings, all that he could see. But with large groups of people, he was not able to do so because it would overwhelm him. Because of this, the man would always stand in the corner of a room in an attempt to observe all that was around him. This man was not born this way, however. He needed to work at this. He needed to work at being aware until it became second nature. We too need to work at being aware until it becomes second nature. It doesn't come automatically. If we are not aware, we cannot resist the devil's attacks because we will simply not see them coming. Perhaps some of you are so busy with work, or even good work, that the church would applaud. Maybe volunteer work, ministry, anything like that. Yet we are blind to our family deteriorating at home, or we are unaware of what media we are feeding ourselves. Perhaps we are unaware of deeper attacks from the devil that we cover up through medications, such as eating, sleeping, overworking, and spending, and this blinds us to what is really going on. Sometimes we do things or events happen in our lives without us even realizing them, and this is dangerous. Being alert requires that we be self-aware and aware of our surroundings. We need to be alert because we know, or we should know, that the devil is seeking to destroy us. This is the second point. In order to resist the devil, we must acknowledge that the devil does indeed exist and is out to devour us. We are not to be simply aware because he may attack, but because he will and does attack. Too often, we do not pay attention to the fact that there is an enemy. and that he does want to destroy us. To resist the devil, we need to believe that he does, in fact, prowl around seeking to attack us. The devil is described as a roaring lion, which was also used in Revelation and Daniel as a way to describe evil governments and institutions, such as the Roman government. But any which way, Satan seeks to attack us. The devil is not just seeking to attack and wound us, but it says in verse 8 that he is seeking someone to devour. This is how serious this is. Often when we think of the devil, we think of a little red man with horns on his head, a tail and a pitchfork who is up to no good, that devil and his mischief that he's up to. But this isn't the case. He is sneaky like a lion, waiting to pounce and kill. We need to know that he exists and he is out to destroy us. Ignorance to the fact that the devil is out there cannot be an option. It would be fatal. Being alert and knowing what the devil's intentions are, however, is simply not enough. We need to resist him. This is our third point. Peter is telling us Christians that we have the power to resist the devil. In fact, he is not telling us that we only have the power to resist, but he is commanding us to resist. And this is really amazing. The devil, being described as a lion, which is a powerful creature, is able to be resisted by us. Incredible. This is both a major blessing, but is also a major conviction in my heart. No longer am I able to tell myself that resisting temptations or attacks are too hard, but now I know that I can resist him, and you can too. This is a huge encouragement for me, and I am sure for others in this congregation, as we are bombarded with attacks on a regular basis. TV shows are feeding us lies about sexuality, faith, religion, charity, who God is, and we are able to resist this. So many of us have not caught on to this truth yet, but imagine if we as a church clung to this fact. People would be able to resist gossip, overspending, overworking, laziness, sexual impurity, gluttony, and so on. Everyone is attacked with something, and the church here and the devil knows our weaknesses. So what are you being attacked with today? What is our local church being attacked with? And what is the global church being attacked with? Certainly, in Canada, it is becoming less and less popular to be a Christian. I'm sure everyone would agree with that. Sometimes we are even called bigots. And not too long ago, in Nanaimo, BC, Christians were attacked by local government simply because of their beliefs. The local city council in Nanaimo decided that they would no longer allow Christian events at their public buildings because the city wanted to be a place that would not tolerate hate and bigotry. The city canceled a Christian conference being held at one of their public venues that had already been planned and paid for because it was thought that homophobic ideas would be taught. The conference is one that you may have heard of. The name of it was LeaderCast, which is a video conference that certainly does not promote hate or intolerance, but teaches people about leadership skills. If you've ever been to one of those conferences, you would know that this is not the intent of the conference. The full video of this whole event can be found online, and this of course got media attention, but society is progressively moving toward a place where it is acceptable to attack Christian belief and freedom simply because of our beliefs regarding homosexuality and abortion. It is very easy for us to be pressured into compromising our beliefs, our morals, our outlooks on life, because of this, from government and society. It truly will get harder to hold to Christian principles, but we are urged, commanded to resist, and we are able. It will come with pain and possibly persecution, but we must resist. Knowing that we can resist brings the question, how do we resist? This will be our fourth point, with verse 9 telling us that we resist by standing firm in the faith. We resist through our faith in Jesus Christ, in our faith of salvation, and faith that he has given us his Holy Spirit. We are only able to resist because of this. This is truly incredible, and we should be extremely confident and bold because of this. We are saved by the Almighty God and have the power of the Holy Spirit. But too often people forget that we do have this gift and that we have faith in an amazingly all-powerful God and in an incredible salvation. We need to stand firm in this. I know that many in the church are good at fleeing persecution, attack, and sin. We huddle in our safe church groups. We hang out with our Christian friends. We send our kids to safe Christian schools and we retire in safe Christian retirement homes. And there is nothing inherently wrong about these things. But Peter is not telling us to hide in safety, but to resist boldly. Stand firm in the faith. Resisting. Standing firm. Do these sound like words that you would compare with safety? With hiding? How confident are we in the faith? This is something that we need to remind ourselves of constantly, that we have faith in Jesus. We should be praying for boldness to stand and resist rather than hide. I remember a friend of mine saying that his pastor is often disappointed that many Christians are so afraid of the devil that they will not go into the dark places of the world because they do not want to be corrupted or fall into sin. I know that the church is too often used to hiding and huddling around each other. And so when I have said in the past that I would like to go up north and work on the oil rigs for a time, people have said, the rigs are really rough, and it is very easy for you to be dragged down. I wouldn't suggest you go. How amazing would it be, however, if instead we viewed dark places as opportunity, knowing that we can resist the devil by standing firm in the faith. Being strong requires effort. It is tiring, and persecution will come. The Christian walk will come with hardships, but Peter gives us this encouragement that we are not alone in our sufferings. And this is the fifth point. In fact, Peter tells us to stand firm in the faith because we know that we are not alone in our sufferings. When we go through trials, persecutions, and attacks, be reminded that our brothers and sisters in China, India, America, Britain, Israel, Palestine, and all over the world are suffering for the same cause. Now, I'm wondering, why does it matter that we know other brothers and sisters are suffering around the world? Why does Peter remind us that other brothers and sisters around the world are suffering when we already knew this? Peter tells us this because there is comfort in knowing that we are not alone in attacks against us. We know that we are not singled out. We are not the only ones who experience this. Humans feel better when they know someone else is experiencing the same challenges or the same pain. Have you ever heard a parent reasoning with a child who asks why he or she needs to do something in a certain way, like eating asparagus or cleaning their room? When they first hear that they need to do these challenging things, they feel singled out as if they are the most oppressed child in the world. Until the parent reminds them that it is okay, that their older brother had to eat his asparagus and clean his room too. All of a sudden things seem all right, and the child usually feels better about the situation because someone else has gone through the same pain. So the next time you are facing attack, undergoing suffering, or being persecuted, take comfort that you are not alone in this. Be encouraged that the church is united under Christ and that you have not been singled out by God or the devil. Peter gives us a second encouragement for our suffering, which is our sixth point, reminding us that God will not let us suffer forever, but only for a little while, and will restore us, making us strong, firm, and steadfast. These attacks from the devil, the persecution that we face, the suffering we endure is only temporary, and this is great news. For those who work out with groups of people, you might relate with me when I think of comments those people make when I am lifting weights. Comments like, "Keep going, Spencer. You only have 10 more repetitions to go." Or while running with a friend, I will hear, "One more mile, and then we are done." Sometimes teachers will remind students that they only have one more month left in the semester, so keep working hard. Or we will even encourage each other here at church or seeing each other at different places around town with phrases like, "We only have one more month left of winter, so hang in there, summer will come, hopefully." Peter is giving us this kind of encouragement here to stay strong, to resist, standing firm in the faith, because we will not have to endure this forever. There is an end to this. There will be rest. There will be restoration. We will see the fruits of our labor. There is hope. This is not only an encouragement to hold on and resist, but also to dig deeper, to resist harder. Like when I work out, comments like, "We only have 1 mile left," are not only meant to encourage me to endure, but to push harder to the end. Knowing that this will not last forever, we should not be satisfied with minimal resistance, but pray for boldness against the devil's attacks. Our suffering will only last a little while. So in what ways should you ask God for boldness to resist the devil further? In what places of your life are you hiding in safety when you need to stand firm in the faith with confidence? Finally, knowing that we have the ability to resist the devil, made possible through our faith in Jesus, is amazing. This is truly incredible that Jesus gives us the ability to resist the devil's attacks. No longer do we need to fear the devil, but can be confident in the faith, and this warrants praise. Praise God for his goodness, that he gives us what we need to resist, that we are not alone in our suffering, and that he will restore us. Verse 11 says, "To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." God deserves the credit for all of this. He has done amazing things for us. Something that I am challenging all of us to do is to worship God as we face attacks, persecution, suffering this week, and stand strong as God has made this possible. This new perspectives brings joy when we face attack, because we can worship God all the more knowing what he has done for us. For those of you who are here this morning who do not have faith in Jesus, who have not been able to resist the devil, I invite you today to accept this gift that Jesus is offering. There is no other way to resist the devil. There is no other way to be saved but through Jesus. If this is something that you want and that you desire, it is always available. Pastor Dan and Pastor Kim are available to talk and to pray with you through this. Having faith in Jesus does not make your life easy or free of suffering, but Jesus will equip you, comfort you, and you will not be alone, and of this we can be certain. In conclusion this morning, be reminded to be alert and sober. knowing that the devil is out to devour, but resist his attacks by standing firm in the faith. Be encouraged that you are not alone in suffering and that it will not last forever, and to praise God for what he has done for us. This week, be encouraged as you face attacks from the devil, knowing that you have the ability to resist. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Father, we come before you this morning excited about what you have spoken to us. Father, I pray that you would give us boldness to resist the devil, to stand firm in the faith. Father, I pray that as we leave here, we would be reminded of what we have heard, and that we would take this to heart this week. I pray this in your name. Amen.